Thank Brother Wayne for his sincere prayer, and for each one of you who have been praying that God's name would be glorified tonight. Appreciated the hymns that were sang tonight. I think it was very encouraging, especially with the request that we have for those who need encouragement this month. So let's continue to pray for each other. The subject is entitled this evening, Contentment, a Blessing or a Hindrance. The word more is a single word that summarizes Americans' hopes and obsessions. More money, more success, the next raise, our next house. With many people today, the things we have, however wonderful, tend to pale in comparison with the things we might still want. I think this poem expresses the way a lot of people have lived. I hope it's none of us. It was spring, but it was summer I wanted, the warm days and the great outdoors. It was summer, but it was fall I wanted, the colorful leaves and the cool, dry air. It was fall, but it was winter I wanted, the beautiful snow and the joy of the holiday season. It was winter, but it was spring I wanted, the warmth and blossoming of nature. I was a child, but it was adulthood I wanted, the freedom and the respect. I was 20, but it was 30 I wanted to be mature and sophisticated. I was middle-aged, but it was 20 I wanted, the youth and the free spirit. I was retired, but it was middle age I wanted, the presence of mind without limitations. Now my life is over, but I never got what I wanted. Almost appears as though many people live like that today, don't they? Never satisfied, never content. In comparison to that, I'd like to share a true story. David was a Negro preacher. He had a disease of leprosy, and he was a patient down in Carville, Louisiana. He was crippled, he was deformed, and he was blind. Yet he was cheerful and thankful. He sang hymns of praise and greatly inspired other sufferers. The note of thanksgiving was dominant in his prayers. He had an old-fashioned radio, which brought joy to him. He turned it on and off with his lips because his fingers were useless because of the leprosy. How blessed we are, no matter what our conditions may be, if we have a grateful heart. How can contentment either be a blessing or a hindrance? The one meaning of contentment is happy enough with what one has, or is not desiring something more or different. Satisfied with the Lord's control and guidance. Is that you? Are you satisfied with the Lord's control and guidance in your life? If you are, you're a content person. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:11, maybe you want to open your Bibles to Philippians 4. We're going to look at some verses here. Some lessons from Apostle Paul. It says he had learned to be content in whatever circumstances or state he found himself in. He was a prisoner. He was living in a small, cold cell. He was chained to a Roman soldier. He had a sparse diet, but he was content. And this can only happen because of the grace of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. The second meaning of content as a hindrance, we as Christians should never be content with our old life of living for self, instead of God's will in every area of our life. Colossians 3:1 says, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Don't be content with your spiritual walk, but walk closer to him. 1 Peter 3:10, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Jude 1, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And he speaks about certain ones who have come in and are unaware, and they're ungodly men who are belittling God's holy will and his word. In Hebrews, but without faith is it impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There are some things which we should not be content with in our lives. We'll look at some contentment as a blessing. Let us look now at four areas that the Apostle Paul had learned to be content in. In verses 4, chapter 4, verses 11 through 19. He said he learned how to be content. He said he was content when he was abased or as he was suffering need. I marvel at the things that Apostle Paul suffered. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 19, he was stoned and he was dragged out of the city. In Acts 16, verses 22 to 25, he was beaten. He was thrown in jail. In 2 Corinthians 6, 4, and 5, he had stripes, imprisonments, sleeplessness, and fastings. In 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 27, five times he received 39 stripes, whippings. Three times he was beaten with rods. One time he was stoned. Three times he was shipwrecked. In the midst of all these things, he learned how to be content. Paul was not writing from a vacation cruise ship, but he was writing from a jail. He was content. How could he do that? You know, we think sometimes it's easier to find contentment in time of abundance than in times of stress. Thomas Carlyle said, adversity is hard on a person, but for one man who can stand prosperity, there are 100 that can stand adversity. We don't like adversity, but he makes it very plain in God's word that this is what develops us into the image that God would have us to. Paul knew how to live in good times as well as in bad times. In Philippians 4:12, he used the word abound twice to describe his contentment in times of plenty. Abound means more than enough. He had more than enough, but he knew how to handle that. Paul, in writing to Timothy, a young disciple, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and in certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Are we content with this food and raiment? You know, as I'd say in the last 20 years, almost everywhere you go, you see these sheds to be rented to store things in. And I think that's a commentary on the American people. We think we need these things. We think we'll be more happier, and this will just bless us. And the advertisements all around us are like, you need this, get this, you'll be much happier. Why do they need these sheds? They find out they don't need it anymore, and then they get rid of it. That's a poor commentary on blessed people, isn't it? You know, so many people go through life thinking that if they could just relocate, they would be content. Or go to another church, or move to another community, and on you could go. Or get a job in another community. If we have not learned to be content with ourselves where we are, we will never be content in another environment. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11, the scripture says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." Remember, God is working things out in your life and my life, and he knows what is best for us. In Colossians 3, in verse 1, "If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth." I believe this is what Paul is challenging us to do, to truly be content. We have to set our affections on things above. It's so easy to just set our affections on the things we can touch in this life and enjoy. Secondly, the Apostle Paul, I think, teaches us here in verse 13 to be content through the power of God. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." He is not talking about outward set of circumstances, but he's talking about an inward strength, a source of strength. Our human body, by eating and drinking and breathing, is drawing from its strength upon the resources of our physical environment. So we, as Christians, by prayer and worship and surrender, keep content with the spiritual environment which is in Christ. He supplies the power which will produce contentment. This quiet strength enables us to live in the place of God, in the place where God has put us, and be content. Galatians 6:20 says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, we have an account here of the Apostle Paul. God gave him a wonderful vision. And he said it was so mighty and so wonderful, he could not express it in words. But because he had seen this and had experienced this with God, the tendency for a human being is to be proud and to let people know, "Look what God has done to me, revealed to me." But Paul had a thorn in the flesh. And he said, "Lest I should be exalted." He prayed three times, and God answers what was, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Do you believe that tonight? Our strength in Christ is made perfect in weakness. And that's the Apostle Paul had to learn, and he learned it quickly. And that's why he was so victorious. And I often think, when we are finished here on this earth and we get over into glory, and we meet with the saints, so many of the saints of old who have been faithful through the years, I often thought to myself, I'll probably be ashamed of the little I have done compared to what some of these brethren and sisters like Brother Paul had going through in their life. We don't have anything much to talk about. It's exciting like they do. There is no quick fix, no shortcut to contentment. It comes only by divine power, not through counselors or self-help formula, but only from consistent, godly living. That's the way we gain contentment. I read something that kind of made me think this week. John Wesley said that he did not know which dishonors God the most. He said, "To worry, which is to doubt God's love and care, or to curse and swear." Did you ever think of that? I repeat that. He said he did not know which dishonored God the most, to worry, which is to doubt his love and care for us, or to curse and swear. We need to rest in faith that all things are under his control. As we look now at content through the body of Christ, we're going to look at through verses in chapter 4, 15 to 18. Paul's purpose for writing this letter was to express his gratitude for his relationship with them. Those who live only for themselves will never be content. Let's remember that. Those of us who just live for ourselves will never be content. We need to live for others, especially for the Lord. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Take notice in verse 18, it says, but I have all and abound, I am full. And he speaks about this odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. He's saying that he was blessed so much by the brethren and sisters who supplied his needs, and he's saying that it was well-pleasing to the Lord because they were serving as God had called them to. In verse 14, it says, notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. As a giver, it will abound to your account. In the last verses of this chapter, Paul mentions three groups of people who have been used of God to sustain him in his prison time. Take notice what he says. Salute, in verse 21, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. Greet every saint. His appreciation of each child of God, he was personal about that. And loved ones, we need to do that also. And here in verse 21, he speaks about the brethren. The brethren which are with me greet you. When he was speaking there about the brethren, I think he was including Timothy and probably Luke and Onesimus, a runaway slave, that were there with him, according to Colossians 4:12. He appreciated so much what they did for him. Then he talks about all the saints in Romans 16 and 1 Corinthians 12. There, all the saints in Rome, he gives a list of brothers and sisters who supplied his needs and were concerned about his spiritual and physical welfare. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, he speaks about the body. Each part of the body is so important to function together. And just so in the church, every person within the church, even at Pleasant Hill, has a very vital part in the church for upbuilding one another. And then the third group he mentions is Caesar's household. And these were probably slaves that were working here. And there were soldiers. I think Paul sometimes was fastened to a soldier. But he was concerned about them, and he was thanking God for them. And I'm sure that there were some through his ministry accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And he was praising the Lord for this. Paul was blessed by God through the support and the concerns in Philippi and also in Rome. The question we need to ask ourselves this evening, are we helping the body of Christ to be content through our caring for each other? There's always needs among us. Are we helping our people to be content by fulfilling those needs? The fourth area is contentment in his promises. Excuse me. Paul reminds us that God, who cared for his needs through his loving concern, will also care for our needs as we trust him. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Reading out from a paraphrase, God is able to make it up to you by giving you everything you need, and more, so that there will not only be enough for your own needs, but plenty left over to give joyfully to others. It is as the scripture says, the godly man gives generously to the poor, his good deeds will be an honor to him forever. Look at verse 19, a personal promise. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's a strong statement. Apostle Paul says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. His promise to them was personal. My God, it was positive. Shall supply, it was pointed. All you need, it was plentiful. According to his riches and glory, it was powerful through Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 6, 38 says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with her, it shall be measured to you again. Hebrews 11, 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee. Never leave thee. This is God speaking. Nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men do unto me. Contentment can be in our place where God has stationed us. It is always a result of the power of God which strengthens us. It is usually supported by the people of God who love us, and is guaranteed by the promise of God who sustains us. In verse 23, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The Lord Jesus Christ is the theme of this epistle. He mentions the Lord Jesus Christ 40 times in these four verses, in these four chapters. Paul in verse 1, the servant of Christ. Also in verse 1, the Philippians as saints of Christ. Verse 13, his imprisonment for the cause of Christ. Verse 21, for him to live was Christ. Chapter 3 and verse 20, he eagerly awaited Christ's return. And chapter 4 and verse 19, his sufficiency was in Christ. The character, the worship, the fellowship, the joy, and the resources of we as saints, all bound up in Jesus Christ. So that's why it's so important that we worship and praise and honor and glorify him. Paul summed up the Christian life when he wrote Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Is that your life and my life? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. This is a true source of commitment. Thirdly, we want to look at commitment as a hindrance. As we as Christians live in a sinful world that tries to be happy without God, where the devil hates God and his children, each one of us have been born with a sinful nature. It is impossible to live a contented life unless Jesus is given daily complete control. This is one area of life that we should never be content in. And that is our love for our personal Savior and our desire to become like him. Let us look at God's word in areas where we are not to be content. God's command for us daily is to love. Matthew 22 and verse 38, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Is that your life? As I examine my life, I have to admit sometimes maybe I don't love him that much. And I'm ashamed of that, for what he has done for me. We also had a command to seek. In Matthew 6:33, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Somebody dares to be content in just living a day-by-day life and not seeking. Colossians 3:1, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Are you seeking the things of Christ daily? Psalm 104, 105, verse 4, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Psalm 119, 2, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, which out no man shall see the Lord. We also have the command to put off and to put on. In Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning the former conversation or the old type of life, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And Romans 6 gives us a list of things that we should do and we should experience in our walk with the Lord, are we? Romans 6:1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. We dare not be content in our own walk. Verse 16, know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. And in Romans 8:12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, but if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify, get rid, put down, kill the deeds of the body, you shall live. Isn't it true that too many times as Christians we compare ourselves among ourselves? In 2 Corinthians 10:12, we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measure themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Do we ever do that? Think, well, I'm better than that brother or that sister, or I live about the way they do. We have to compare ourselves beside the Lord Jesus Christ. When we realize God's desire for us is to be more and more like his son, we will not be content unless we daily seek that goal. Don't we get our contentments sometimes in life mixed up? There's multitudes of people today are discontented with their body. They wish they'd be taller, smaller, taller, or larger, would have a different color or different feet or different eyes. Discontentment. Some are discontent with their family, wish it was in a different family, or their job, or their position in life, or their abilities. So we get mixed up sometimes and are discontented with them things and we shouldn't be, and yet we're content with our walk with the Lord that isn't the way it should be. Let us learn to realize that God is aware of our day-by-day living needs. The doctor says you have a problem. I want to see you tomorrow for a test. God knows about it. If we lose our job or whatever it may be, God knows about it. He may allow some things we don't like, but he knows what will profit us for eternity. Let's remember that. He knows what will profit you for eternity. But more important than our needs is his desire for us to be more and more like Jesus. Let us remember that Paul was not a victim of circumstances, but he was a victor over circumstances. In Philippians 4 and verse 11, I can accept all things. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things. In Philippians 4:18, I have all things. He did not have to be pampered to be content. He found his contentment in the spiritual resources abundantly provided by Christ. I'd like to close with the words of this hymn. He knows just what I need. My Jesus knows when I'm lonely. He knows each pain. He sees each tear. He understands each lonely heartache. He understands because he cares. My Jesus knows when I'm burdened. He knows how much my heart can bear. He lifts me up when I am sinking and brings me joy beyond compare. When other friends seem to forget me, when skies are dark, when hope is gone, by faith I feel his arms about me and hear him say, "You're not alone." My Jesus knows just what I need. Oh, yes, he knows just what I need. He satisfies and every need supplies. Yes, he knows what I need. Are you a contented Christian? You need to be contented toward the things of this world. But loved ones, never become too content with walking close to the Lord. God bless you.